You may be seated.
Amen. Well, hey, one quick announcement while you guys are having a seat. Talmudim groups, which are the groups of students who come together to memorize scripture together, and then also women's Bible study groups. Signups are happening now, and you guys would want to be a part of those groups. So go to grow.hope.edu between now and Friday and get signed up for that. Kate D is your fearless leader on that one, which leads me to remind you guys, right? This is going to get confusing again this year. I am also Kate K, right? Kate Koyman. So I just wanted to introduce myself for those of you who may not know me. Kate Koyman is my name, and that is a little bit odd for me to say still, because that's my married name. I haven't always been Kate Koyman. And so if you had known me before, really in my heart of hearts, I'm still Kate Vinord, but nobody around here calls me that. So I had to get used to some things when I first got married to Eric Koyman, my husband. I had to get used to some things about his family, and I pray that someday you all can have in-laws who are as awesome as mine. And I'm not just saying that because what I just said is on the internet, and they can listen to this sermon later, but I really feel that way. I love the Koymans. They are wonderful people, but there were some things I had to get used to about the Koymans when I first became a Koyman. And one of those things was what I call the Koyman mapping exercise. So all the Koymans live in Grand Rapids, and they all take this, like, strange pride in their ability to navigate Grand Rapids, Michigan, the best of any family that can navigate Grand Rapids. So we would, like, get together for dinner or whatever, and the weirdest thing would happen. Somebody would say, oh, I checked out that new store the other day. And they would say, oh, what route did you take? And so, you know, they'd have to say, well, you know, I went down 28th Street, and I turned on Eastern. Oh, you turned on Eastern. That was interesting. There was, like, this, like, judgment that would go on, and they would say, I would have probably turned on Madison. I think that Madison has a shorter light, and there's less traffic from buses, and I'm just the whole time going, I don't know what you guys are talking about, because I'm the kind of person who, if I know how to get someplace, then I know how to get there, and I don't rethink it. I'm not, like, thinking in my head, I know how to get from point A to point B. That's how I will take the rest of my life. I will just go that way. That's the Vinord way. Right? But the Koymans don't do that. They, like, have this collective idea of the best way to go. It's the Koyman way. This was something I really had to get used to. And I'll tell you, at first, it made me very nervous, especially to have a Koyman in the car with me while I was driving. So have you ever had this before where you're with somebody who, like, really knows the city really well? And I grew up in Grand Rapids, you guys. Like, I thought I knew, but to have a Koyman next to me, I just felt like they were judging me all the time, right? Oh, interesting that you chose that way. So I would say to my husband, like when we were first married, I would just tell me where to go. Tell me exactly where to go, and that's where I'll go. And I loved it because he would say, okay, get in the right-hand lane. Okay, put my blinker on, you know, get in the right lane. Then I'd turn, and he would tell me exactly, turn-by-turn directions, where to go. And I tell you what, I drove the same place 9 times, and I still have no idea how to get there because Eric just told me exactly where to go. So I've had to work this out. As I've become a Koyman, I've become accustomed to the Koyman way of doing things. And I've realized, you know, this was before GPSs that Eric and I got married. I think the Koymans should have kind of patented this idea. Then maybe we would have, instead of having Garmins in our car, we'd have Koymans in our car with us, and we'd be rich, which would be sweet, but that's not the case. So, oh well. But, you know, the thing that I realized about myself through all of this, you know, induction into the Koyman way of doing things is that I'm the kind of person who I like to have some turn-by-turn directions. And not just when I'm driving in my car. I think I like to have that kind of stuff in my whole life. Every time I face a decision, it is hard for me. And I want somebody to tell me what to do. I want turn-by-turn directions for little stuff. Like when I was in college, you know, do I take Chem 231 or Bio 416, whatever? And, like, I wanted somebody to tell me this is the right decision. And I don't know if any of you guys struggle with that, but it wasn't just in, you know, life decisions. It was also in my faith. I wanted a God who would give me turn-by-turn directions for how to navigate this life of faith. And somehow along the way, I think I got the idea that that's the God that we have. That God is a little bit like my husband sitting in the passenger seat going, Oh, Kate, interesting decision then, that one. That's not the way I would have taken. And that God somehow, if we can get in right with God, that God would give us turn-by-turn directions for our life. So something just happened that was a big deal. And God is going to say, here's how you navigate yourself out of this one. Turn here. Turn there. And that I could just sort of like let Jesus take the wheel, right? And that I don't have to engage with my life anymore. I don't have to try that hard. I don't have to really think that hard. I can just let God do the work for me. I don't know where I came up with that idea, but I think I had it for a long time, and it was frustrating to me that I would cry out to God in times of great confusion and that God would not tell me which way to turn. I don't know if you guys have had that experience, but I don't think the God that we serve is like a GPS. I don't think that God is in the business of telling us exactly where to turn and when every time we have to make a turn in this life. I think it'd be easier if God functioned that way, but I don't think that that's the God that we serve. But that doesn't mean that we are just going it alone. That doesn't mean that we have to make this stuff up as we go along, right? On Sunday, Trigvi talked about how we're going to be studying the Apostles' Creed together this semester. And he talked about how the creed is like a map that's been handed down from people who came before us as kind of a collective wisdom. How do you do this life of faith? What are the fundamentals that you need to know? And that's kind of what we get in the creed. It's not everything that we need to know to be Christians, but it's some of the really most important stuff that we need to know. We get in the creed. It's like a map, and it's been handed down from people from generations back from us as a gift, some collective wisdom. But that's not the only thing that we get, right? When Paul talked on Monday about a creed, he talked about the ancient Israelites and how they had a creed. Do you remember this? The Shema. And the first line of the ancient Israelites' creed went like this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Why don't you guys say that with me? Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord alone. And did you hear it? The first line of the creed, the Lord is our God. See, for the ancient Israelites, they would say that the first thing when they woke up in the morning, and they would say it the last thing before they went to bed at night. And it was the first thing that your baby learned to say about God was this Shema. So every day of their lives, they would remind themselves of this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. For the ancient Israelites, this life of faith was never something that they did by themselves. It was never a personal matter or a private relationship. But for the people of Israel, this was a communal thing, something that you worked out with people, because the Lord our God is our God, not just my God, but our God. And the only way it makes sense to navigate this life of faith is to do it together. And friends, this is our legacy too. The Shema is also our creed. The Lord is also our God. And I think somewhere along the way, you all have been told a lie. And it is that you need to navigate this life of faith by yourself. That you have to make stuff up as you go along. And that there's nothing to help you with this stuff. That God is interested in your own personal life. It's a personal relationship. It is an individual decision. It's a private matter. And none of these things are true, friends. We are in this together. You have been given the same map that I have been given in the creed. You've been given the same word that I have been given in the Bible. You have been given the same words and promises that people have had for generations. And they've given us something in a gift in the creed to say, I'm going to help you out because I've been down this road before. You are not alone. I don't care what you are facing today. Somebody has faced it before. And whatever your fear is, somebody has seen the other side of that fear who is part of this community of faith. Whatever question you are asking that you don't even want to admit you're asking, somebody has asked that question before. And whatever sin you're struggling with, somebody has confessed that sin before. You are not alone. So I think that this semester, when we go through the creed together, when we take a look at this map together, I want us to remember that we do this together because it's the only way to do this thing. And you know, it would be a lot easier, maybe, sometimes, to have God in our passenger seat telling us, turn here. Okay, good, slow down. All right, speed up a little bit, put your blinker on, right? Sometimes I want God to tell me exactly what to do and exactly when. And friends, we just don't get that. It would be a lot easier sometimes if we did. But easy is not a word to describe this life of faith that we are living. Nobody said it would be easy. And you know what? It won't be easy. It will be so much better than easy. So I want to invite you this semester to take out your map. Your map that's the same as my map, that's the same as the map of everybody else. This map that we get in the creed. And navigate this life of faith together with me and with your friends and with this community of saints that has gone before us. You are not alone. Hear Hope College. The Lord is our God. The Lord alone. Amen? Let's pray. God, we are grateful that we don't have to make this stuff up as we go along. And that doesn't mean this life of faith will be easy, but you have given us a creed. You've given us something to believe in. Give us courage as we explore that together this semester. Help us to lean on one another and to lean on the wisdom of generations that have gone before as we figure out what does it mean to be part of this community of believers. Give us grace and courage and wisdom. It won't be easy, God. It will be so much better than easy. In your name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.